am Jeffrey Holton, and you have come from my webpage, hopefully, jeffreyholton.com. Can you believe it's already 2019? We're 2 weeks into 2019, and I do apologize that it's taken me a number of weeks to come up with the seventh episode, but as you all know and can probably attest to, that we're all busy from the holiday season, but I'm not going to dwell on that. I'm here. I'm excited to be sharing with you today in this crisp January morning down here in Florida. I know those of you who are up north would probably punch me if I told you that it was cold here, because you're probably dealing with snow and real cold temperatures. But us Floridians now, we can't handle 45 degrees. It gets a little chilly for us. So hopefully you don't feel too bad for us, because I certainly feel bad for all of you up north. But you can always come down and visit us here in Florida. We are happy to have good friends come visit us and say hello. Well, where I am in my life today is we're continuing to just be faithful to God. I'm continuing to serve at the school and at the Lifeway Christian Books. My wife is still teaching, and we're just being faithful to what God has called us to do. And you know, that's what God calls us to do in all of our lives, is faithfulness. And I'm reminded of that in this message that I'm going to be talking about today in Acts chapter 4, and how Peter was faithful to God and responding to the council as he was standing before them. And I'd like to share a little story that I had in my life probably 25-ish years ago. And it really deeply impacted me, and I'll share that with you also here in the coming moments. But for today, we're going to be in the book of Acts, chapter 4. Just going to jump right in. I'm going to read the first 12 verses, and if you have a Bible, feel free to follow along. If not, just listen to my angelic voice as I speak the words of God. And as they were speaking to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of men who came were about 5,000. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Peter, then, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the one that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men which we must be saved." We are picking up here where Peter had just healed the crippled man when he offered him the gift of healing instead of silver and gold, if you recall. If you don't recall that, I would encourage you to go back and listen to podcast number 6, the one right before this, and I talk a little bit about that. Today, we're going to look at the main point of what the last couple weeks have been talking about, and that is having a relationship with Jesus. And last time we talked, we spoke about how having a relationship with Jesus Christ is really the only way one can truly know and experience true happiness and peace. And, you know, Peter shared this message of hope and peace with the onlookers after he healed this lame man from birth, and all were amazed at the miracle that had happened. And we find out that as a result of that there was over 5,000 people who came to Christ. And we find out in today's passage, the number of believers increased to about 5,000 as a result of the Spirit-filled message that Peter gave in response to this lame man being healed. And, you know, we would think that upon hearing the news of this man who was crippled since birth, was healed, that the religious leaders would have rejoiced and praised God at this miraculous healing. And on the contrary, though, they were mad, they were indignant, or they were greatly disturbed. They were so angry and incensed that they had the two apostles thrown into jail, and they spent the night in jail. And the irony in this event is that after the first recorded miracle of the apostles, the result is not delight and praise of God, as it should be, but it instead led to like a discrimination and persecution against Christians. And we read here that the next morning, the apostles were brought before the priests, and these were the official ministers or worship leaders in the nation of Israel who represented the people before God and conducted various rituals to atone for sins. And the temple guard, who was the second most powerful person in Jerusalem, apart from the Roman guard and the army, was there. The Sadducees, they came from the leading families of the nation. They included priests, merchants, and aristocrats. The high priest and most powerful members of the priesthood were mainly Sadducees. And there were rulers, elders, and teachers of the law. So basically, these apostles, they were standing before the bigwigs at the time, the people who had power, had clout, had the ability to take care of these individuals however they saw fit. And you see, the question remains, why were they so upset? It has been suggested that they were mad because these unlearned men, these apostles, were teaching people and teaching others was a threat to the religious leaders who were in authority. You see, oftentimes when the Spirit of God empowers or moves in His people, those who are not spiritually minded will see it as a threat, and they're going to oppose it no matter what. They will use whatever tactics they can use to intimidate believers or people to back down from doing the work of God. And throwing these men in jail was exactly what they were trying to do. They were trying to intimidate the disciples. These disciples posed no threat to the community. The leaders were just using bully tactics, and they were just like the leaders of their time and like the leaders of today. They use these tactics to try and stop what God is doing. And James Montgomery Boyce writes that the world thinks it can stop a spiritual movement by threats, force, imprisonment, and death, but it cannot. A good idea, especially a true spiritual idea, will always spread. You see, Peter is not going to be intimidated. Verse 8 tells us that Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, and this is a key phrase for us. Peter being filled with the Holy Spirit. This is what empowered him. He did not back down to their intimidation. Rather, he uses this opportunity to give testimony of Jesus Christ. Had he been scared or intimidated, he would have backed down and he would have tried to make everything right and he would have been nice to the religious leaders. But Peter knew he was a servant of God and he had the greatest message in the world to give. So nothing was going to stop him. And this brings us to a question. What can we learn from this? Seeing Peter's empowerment, seeing Peter's boldness, how can we apply what we have seen so far to our lives, what we have witnessed Peter doing? You see, there is the truth and the reality that the world and people who oppose Christianity will always try and intimidate us, and they will try to discredit our faith. However, we still have the same message to proclaim today that Peter did back 2,000 years ago. We cannot let the world intimidate us. Jesus Christ can and will bring true peace, joy, and happiness in your life if you just surrender your life to Him. And this is a wonderful message to proclaim. We can tell the world that there is peace and joy and happiness, and it is found in Jesus Christ. And this passage reminds me of an event in my life, and I'm going to just take the remainder of this podcast to tell a story about what happened and an experience that I had and how God moved in my life for His glory. And I would like to share this time that before I became a Christian, you know, I was a little rough around the edges. A young man, I used to play a bass guitar in a local heavy metal band, and we used to play at this bar, and it wasn't the classiest bars. I guess to call it classy would be a bit deceiving, but it was kind of a second home to a number of people who were a little rough around the edges. And, you know, during this season of life, I became friends with many people in the bar and with other musicians and bands at the club. And when I became a Christian in the early 90s, God changed my life. And I began to lose touch with many of these friends that I had at the time. And I wouldn't say that I left them. I mean, it was kind of a mutual leaving because those who were part of that scene didn't want to really be part of my new life, and I didn't have the desires to be part of that scene as well. So it was kind of a mutual disconnect. But when I became a Christian, you know, God got a hold of me 100%. And I remember these days very vividly. I was sold out for God. I turned my life around and I began this new life. I had a true transformation, a true spirit-filled transformation. I joined a Christian fellowship at college called InterVarsity. I made new Christian friends, one of whom now is my wife, and I enjoyed this new life I had in Christ. And one day when I was at this InterVarsity meeting, I was asked by one of the attendees in that group that he asked if I would go see his band perform at the bar, and I said I'd love to, and then he told me it was actually at the place where I used to always hang out with my old stomping grounds, and I was a bit apprehensive about going, but I felt the Lord, you know, giving me the green light to go. I wanted to go and support this young man. I guess we were the same age. He wasn't really a young man. But after a lot of prayer and a little anxiety, I decided I would go. I found my cleanest t-shirt, which was a black t-shirt with the face of Jesus Christ on it and a crown of thorns imprinted on his forehead. And on the back of it, it had the C.S. Lewis. You know, Jesus was either a liar, a lunatic, or a Lord. You know, I put on my best pair of jeans, I put on my leather jacket, and headed down to what at the time felt like the depths of hell. You know, and upon my arrival, naturally, I saw many faces, old faces and friends, which I had not seen in close to a year. And some enthusiastically had acknowledged my presence, and others just shunned me and went about the normal business. You know, as I walked into to see my friend's band. They were in the midst of the set, and I found a place to stand and watch him perform. And after finishing the set, he came over and said, "Hey, what do you think? Well, you know, do you think we did well?" And I was like, "Yeah, you did great." And he says, "Man, you got to check out this band that's after us. They are simply amazing." So I agreed, and I stayed, and I watched this band, and they were really good. And the lead singer, after a moment of just playing some songs, he just stopped and he started talking about religion and about Christianity in particular. And he talked about how Christianity was for weak-minded people and for those people needing a crutch. And he started on this whole speech about how Jesus was a myth and that Christianity is nothing but a bunch of people who are trying to oppress other people with rules and regulations. He started bashing the church, organized religion, and talked about corruption involved in them and how Christmas is basically a governmental ploy to get consumers out to spend money. And he just kept going on and on and on and on and on and talking about, you know, how horrible the church, Christianity, and Jesus were. And he comes to this point in his talk from the stage. He goes, "Does anyone actually believe this whole Christianity thing?" And the place literally fell silent. And I had one of those moments where I felt the Holy Spirit empowering me to do something I would never have done on my own strength. And I nervously raised my hand up in this crowd of probably 100, 150 people. And, you know, I figured I had this big print of Jesus on my shirt, so I guess I can't hide my convictions. So something amazing happens after that, and the singer points at me from the stage. And with a scowl on his face, he says, "You, come here." And not knowing what he was going to do, I just prayed a really quick prayer to God that he would use this moment to bring him glory. And as I reached the stage, the singer got in my face, and he handed me the microphone. And he said mockingly, "Tell us what you think Christmas and Christianity is all about." And I was totally shocked at this opportunity I had. And I began to share the gospel message of Jesus Christ. I shared what he had done for me and what he will do for those who are listening to me if they just turn their lives over to Jesus. I spoke about his love, about forgiveness, and about his death on the cross, about his resurrection. And at the conclusion of my 10-minute evangelistic moment, you could literally hear a pin drop. I mean, talk about being a party pooper, you know? I handed the mic back to the singer, and he seemed a bit perplexed, and the band went on playing the next number. And then I walked through the crowd. Some people made snide remarks. Others laughed at me, and most just ignored my presence and my message. You know, my heart's pumping, adrenaline's flowing. I walk back to the bar, or the back of the bar, and I just tried to blend into the woodwork, feeling, you know, kind of this adrenaline rush going over. And all of a sudden, this guy who I recognized from a band that we used to play with came up to me, and his name was, I'm going to change his name to Howard. He was a little tipsy at the moment, and he said, "I heard you got all religious, and, you know, I actually wondered what happened to you." I shared again what happened to me in the past year since Christ came into my life. And he looked at me with these glassed over eyes, and he was wobbling back and forth. And he says to me, he goes, "I know my life isn't what it's supposed to be. And I don't think God could ever forgive me for what I've done, but would you do me a favor?" And I responded, "Sure, you name it." He said, "What, when you go back home and go to bed tonight, will you pray for me? Pray that I will change my life." I said, "Howard, I've been praying for everyone in this bar since Jesus came into my life. But yes, I will pray specifically for you, and I believe if you repent of your sins, God will forgive you no matter what." And he went back to the bar, and I felt it's time to leave. So I headed home and said my prayer for Howard, and I went back to Bible college in California, and a couple months later, I came home for Christmas break, and I ran into a friend of mine who used to play drums in my band, and we were talking one day about the old gang and what's been going on, and you know, nothing had changed, and I just remembered this conversation that I had with this Howard guy the previous year, and I asked him, "Hey, you know, I talked with Howard last year, and I lost contact with him. Whatever happened to Howard?" Dwayne chuckled a bit and said, "He found God and he moved to Florida. I heard he is playing Christian music nowadays." And at that point, I was like, wow. Silently rejoiced because, you know, all of a sudden I had seen the power of God work through his Holy Spirit. And I didn't even realize it. You see, Satan and the world, they tried to intimidate me that evening in the bar. And God in his infinite wisdom empowered me to share the gospel message with about 100, 150 people. And he used me to help to lead one lost soul into the kingdom of God. And this is what I believe happens when God consumes us and empowers us by the Holy Spirit. He gives us the strength to do what we never thought we could do. And we see this happen with Peter here in Acts chapter 4 and throughout the book of Acts altogether. God's going to open doors for you if you're willing to walk through these doors and if you're willing and open to his will. I found out a few years ago that Howard is no longer alive. He had fell on some hard times and that he passed away. And I don't know what he went through and what was going on in his life when he passed away, but I do know that he gave his life to Christ and that Howard is with Jesus now. And that's something that I rejoice in and I thank God for every day. And you know what? It reminds me that, you know, as God's people, as a person of God, as a child of God, you know, we're going to face persecution. Sure, here in the United States, we may not face the intense persecution that many do over in other countries and around the world. You know, some of us may face physical harm. Some of us may face intimidation. We may experience little things like being shunned by our friends or people getting angry with us or calling us names. You know, these trials and these tribulations, they're inevitable in the Christian life. But Jesus says in John 15, 18 through 19, that if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. So let's not be intimidated by the world, by the threats of the world. Let's go out and boldly proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And may the power of God empower us through his Spirit so that we could be faithful and obedient to him. These words are I'm hoping, a true encouragement to you. You know, God has given me many, many opportunities to share his gospel with so many people. And I'm so thankful for those moments like this with Howard, that I just got that little glimpse into this man's life to see that he became a believer in Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful that God used me for that point in his life. And I pray that he continues to use me, that he uses you, so that we can go out and just be sharing his glory with everyone around the world, because we don't know when and how people are going to pass from this earth. And we have this responsibility to share the love of Christ. And how they respond is up to them. We can't save people, but we can surely share with people. And I encourage you to do that today. So until the next time we get together, I pray that God uses you, that he empowers you, and that the Spirit of God emboldens you to speak his love, his grace, and mercy to those whom he has placed in your life.